Yes, welcome to another instalment of Health Matters. You can hear the program here every second Wednesday from 11 o'clock and also replay after Inside Out Sunday at 9 o'clock. I am your host and Big Girl with some special guests joining us, and the topic today is multisystemic therapy. Our guests are Shannon McNear. I'm going to find out a bit more about Shannon and her background, but I do know that she's a psychologist and an Aboriginal specialist in MST. Also joining us is Mark Porter from the Child and Adolescent Health Service, and we've got Shannon on the phone all the way from, I think, I think it's Roebourne, hey Shannon?
Roebourne, yeah.
Wow, I'm so envious of you because I'm guessing it's nice weather up there.
Yeah, very nice weather up here this time of the year.
Shannon, since I've got you talking first, just a bit about yourself and being Aboriginal, I'm really interested to know, you know, where you're from, who's your mom, who knows, you and I might be related.
Yeah, look, lovely to be on the show today. My name's Shannon McNear and I'm a Mulgadal woman from Shark Bay, so the Bloody family are my mob. I became a psychologist, I guess, after a long time working in the police service of WA, and I'm really passionate about helping young people, and I particularly really enjoyed my time working with the MST program as an Aboriginal specialist. I'm currently a district psychologist in child protection, hence why I'm all the way up here in the Pilbara, continuing the work that I love doing.
And Mark, I need to know where you're from.
Happy to be invited to this program, but I'm from Fremantle, so fourth generation Fremantle person, and I've been managing the MST program for about 10 years. I'm a clinical psychologist by background.
And you know Shannon?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we were very fortunate to have Shannon working on our team for a number of years in our Rockingham area.
Oh, great. I guess the first thing, multi-systemic therapy, I've seen that and I had no idea what that is, so I'm glad we're here for the next hour to give people a bit more of an insight on what it actually is, and coming from professionals in the field such as yourself, Mark, and from you, Shannon, as well, but especially being an Aboriginal person, it's great to have you on here to talk about the matter as well. So what exactly is multi-systemic therapy?
Yeah, look, I'd like to just explain a little bit about the program. It's a program that helps young children that typically may be experiencing some, usual problems that some of our young people do, things like school behaviours, aggression at home, just getting, you know, minor involvement in the criminal justice system. But what it is a really intensive family program that visits the home and works very intensively at the home with the children and their families, and uses a really strength-based approach to try and resolve and problem-solve these issues. Now, my experience is that our Aboriginal families do have these strengths there, and we come in and we just provide some of the support from a clinical point of view as well, to identify who are these people in the families that can help with the certain problems. So one of the main things we get going pretty quickly is monitoring and supervision, and really trying to build up the systems in the family to get this young person back on track. And the big goal is to keep them out of this criminal justice system. I really was quite passionate, and I really enjoyed going into family homes. Most of our business is done at the kitchen table. That was my memory. And families become empowered. They become empowered to try and manage these issues and sit in meetings with all these agencies and develop their own ways of managing this. And I truly believe and understand that our families have these strengths within them. They just need some support from, you know, programs like MST to get things back on track and just in the right direction. I really love the home visiting service. I know that Aboriginal families find it hard to go into clinics and talk about the things that we really don't like talking about and highlighting, that, you know, our children aren't doing so well right now, some of our kids, and so this is hard. This is hard to sit in a clinic and say that to people that we don't know. And this is why I think it's really important that services like MST are supported to continue to go into family homes and hear what families have, what resources are already there, and to help build on that.
No, it sounds great. I totally agree with you. I mean, sometimes going into an office or maybe a medical kind of environment is a sterile kind of thing, and yeah, around the kitchen table does me fine anytime. Especially, you know, speaking as a mum with a child that was diagnosed with ADHD at the age of three, and I've been from everything from triple P to respite, nervous breakdown. I think my mother was more on a nervous breakdown, but yeah. And yeah, it can be very confronting. I know I had to go a lot to the hospital and adolescent centres, and oh dear, I mean, just getting in there was embarrassing. I mean, your kid had half wrecked the place before you even got to see the professional you're supposed to see, you know. And I remember there was times where I just couldn't even hack seeing anyone after he had just, I'd just jump in the car and make another appointment, you know, later on. But I did find a program that was done at home, and I did feel comfortable and more at ease, that there was no one to see the behaviour. And even though you do love your child, it does come a bit embarrassing, especially if there's safety, you know, involved as well. So, yeah, I can fully understand that. And we might throw to Mark a little bit, because people are most probably wondering where he's gone. How would a parent know, you know, if this is the right program for their child, Mark?
It's a really good question, because having children with behavioural problems or problems, a wide range of problems, is really common. And multi-systemic therapy is really a program where usually the parents have tried other things that haven't been working or not working as sufficiently. Or as Shannon and yourself said, sometimes for many families it's very intimidating to go into a clinic, or even the difficulty of trying to access a clinic. So if you can imagine, say, a mother has two or three children and she's having to try and go to a clinic and get to on time for an appointment is incredibly difficult for many people, especially if they don't have private transport or they're using public transport. These are huge obstacles for many people. So what we find is usually these are families who may have had no contact with other services, or they've had contact with services that haven't been sufficient to help them. So it's generally when their children are about 11 or 12 or 13, 14 years of age that they're asking about our program, or they're finding out about our program and they're applying to sort of get help from us. And I guess, as Shannon described, because the clinicians are going into the home, they're able to actually see the problems that the family are dealing with in the community and in the local school, and able to address many issues to help the families solve some of these problems.
So going back to some of the behaviourals of the children, you just said like 11 above, hey Mark, you know, kids that are becoming aggressive.
Yep.
Whether that's in homeschool or within the community, maybe kids are refusing to go to school, or running away from home or the school. The child's becoming involved in antisocial activities and crimes with their peers, and perhaps starting to indulge in alcohol and other drugs as well. So, you know, if your child is displaying some of those behaviours or getting involved in some of those activities, and you and if you feel like disempowered, I mean, how do people get hold of this program? Is it a referral basis, or
Yeah, typically it's a referral base, and we have a very wide referral base. So probably the majority of our referrals are coming through school psychologists, followed by some of the child and adolescent mental health clinics. But also we get referrals from community managed organizations, sometimes juvenile justice, sometimes child protection. But mostly they're coming through school psychologists. So the school recognizes that this child is, as you say, not turning up to school, or they're aggressive in school. And the psychologists within the schools can only do so much to help the children. And really what it requires is a broader approach where the whole family can be helped.
We're going to go to a song with some little kids singing. We had a little listen to this one before. It's titled Boom Boom Boom. It comes from the Indigenous Hip Hop program, Old Mapoon, and we thought it was absolutely great. So we're going to go to that now. We'll be back with Mark and also our deadly guest sitting back in warm Roebourne, Shannon, and we'll come back. And I want to talk a bit about priority referrals with you, because I do realise that there are waiting lists. I want to perhaps reach out to parents or caregivers that are, need help today. So here we go. Here's some music. You're on Health Matters with me, Big Girl, also Mark and Shannon, coming out of the studios of Noongar Radio.
Everybody, we have come to get down. Everybody, work your body. Let's pump it up now.
Ooh, we're feeling healthy now. Feel a beat of my heart. Oh, we're feeling happy now. Cause we're about to start.
Let's pump it up now.
Boom, boom, boom. Keep moving.
Boom, boom, boom.
Don't slow down.
Boom, boom, boom.
Keep acting.
Boom, boom, boom.
My womb.
Boom, boom, boom.
Don't slow down.
Boom,
just
boom,
pump
boom.
It. Just pump it.
Boom,
just
boom,
pump
boom.
It up and down.
Keep moving. Don't slow down. Keep
acting.
On my boom town.
Boom, boom, boom. This is on my boom. And we're doing backflips straight off the sand dune. Boom, boom, boom. To the beat of my heart. We gotta make the right choice. We gotta be smart.
We are the deadly girls of Oh My Poon. We love to shake our body and go boom, boom, boom. We'll be swimming in lagoons every afternoon. And we won't be coming home till we see the moon. We stay healthy and strong, eating veggies and fruit. That's how we stay gorgeous and looking so cute. Our body's so healthy and our skin so smooth. So we go walk about eating bush taco food.
Riding quad bikes is what we love to do. When my mama calls out,
I'm cooking up a stew.
I'll be eating my mango and it makes me wanna tango. When I'm eating my grapes, man, it makes me wanna break.
When I'm eating my yams, man, it makes me wanna jump. When I'm eating my broccoli, it makes me do quabbling. The girls of my food, we have a strong heart. We always stay together. We will never, boom, boom, ever, boom. Ever be apart. Come on. Shake it. Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. This is all my boom. And we're doing backflips straight off the sand dunes. Boom, boom, boom. To the beat of my heart. We gotta make the right choice. We gotta be smart.
Oh, the sun is shining.
We are the Q&G boys, and we're making some noise. To be fit and healthy, you gotta make a choice. Keep being active and eating healthy food. Bumping on the weights and looking so good.
Eating fresh fish and kangaroo. Bush tucker is a kike that is good for you. We play soccer, rugby league, and AFL. I'm riding on my bike and I'm
cause I'm going to the clinic and I'm getting a checkup. Faster, faster, I don't wanna go slow. Yawali fala, apo, apo.
Boom, 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 this is all my poom. And we're doing backflips straight off the sand dunes. Boom, 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 to the beat of my heart. We gotta make the right choice, we gotta be smart.
Oh, the sun is shining now, it's got a feeling alive. Oh, nothing can stop us now, like an eagle that flies.
Move your body in a healthy way. We got respect for our elders, that's our traditional way. Learning our language and our totem name, cause we always feel brave and we got no shame.
Hope you enjoyed that. That was Old Mapoon there with Boom Boom Boom. Nothing like little kids just getting into it. And what I like about using hip hop as a vessel to get out some really strong messages about the kids. So from that, Mark, I think they were telling us to have our three veg and two fruit for the day. Might ask you a bit about diet a bit later down the track, but I wanted to ask you about priority referrals where things are just really extreme and there's an emergency going on, and it could be could be the child is maybe wanting to self-harm or things like that, or could be other things. You tell me.
Sure. I guess the main point is, yeah, we're a small program. We've been operating for 10 years, primarily sort of in the Rockingham, Mandurah area, and also in the sort of northern coastal suburbs up towards Joondalup. We're hoping very much to be able to expand the program and address some of the other areas where we know that there's a really high need for this program. But currently we're small. We only have about four clinicians working in each of the teams. They have quite small caseloads because it's intense work with each of the families. So, of course, the referrals that we are getting from so many places, as you mentioned, there's going to be competition. And what we do, we select really the most severe referrals that we're getting that sort of we know sort of fit the group of kids that we're trying to help. So these are children between the ages of 11 to 16. They're children who sort of need to be living at home, because primarily what we're working with the parents or the main care provider for the child. And sometimes, as Shannon mentioned earlier, there may also be uncles involved and aunties or grandparents. And for many of these people, we're involving them because they're the primary caregivers. So the sort of referral behaviours that we're sort of seeing listed on referrals is usually that there's a history of several years where the child was really oppositional. They wouldn't sort of obey the parents, and often this escalates into aggression and violence. Sometimes, you know, the violence is just limited to a home setting, but very often it's not. It's also in a school setting, or it may be in the community, and there's a pattern of these sort of problems not really getting better, but getting worse. Usually the aggression and the violence means that the child's going to stop going to school, or they're only going to school a little bit. And there's an escalation of problems, sort of antisocial activities, hanging out with other friends who are probably also violent or in a negative space, and getting up to trouble. Often they're beginning to sort of use alcohol or perhaps experiment with other substances. And so this paints a picture where we know that if we don't sort of help this child, where you have these more severe sort of behaviours happening, we know that that's going to get
to lead down a very negative path. So we're trying to prioritize those sorts of referrals where we know this isn't just a passing phase, but it's a pattern of behaviors that are getting worse, where there's a history of 1 or 2 years of that. Sometimes it's starting to have a really negative effect on brothers and sisters or other people in the family. Sometimes the parents are really struggling to sort of know what to do, and there may be difficulties in the relationship. And yeah, it starts to become like a really incredible burden for parents. So I guess they're the referrals that we're trying to prioritize so that we can sort of stop and help the parents get to first of all learn some skills, and then also to know where they can also turn for safe help in dealing with the problem if it continues afterwards.
Sharon, anything on that?
Yeah, look, you know, my experience as an MST clinician was really about helping these families try and reconnect back with these agencies. Usually by the time we get involved, they're really struggling, they're feeling really disempowered, and even really embarrassed or ashamed to talk to these agencies' schools. You know, I attended a lot of school meetings, and I was a mediator in some ways, you know, to help these and empower these parents to be able to talk back to these schools and not feel judged or feel disempowered. So really I was a bit of a mediator. You know, if there were problems that the families couldn't address, like how do we go out and find this kid and get him back to school? You know, we would get in and we'd walk along side by side with these parents, and I remember conversations about, you know, school was really hard for me, Shannon, so you're also trying to help the parents and really validate how they felt about their school experience, so then they can work with that and work with me on that and be able to help their child get back to school as well. So, you know, you really, when you're dealing with Aboriginal families, you're dealing with the parent and their experiences of school and how things were for them. I mean, the other really important thing that I wanted to sort of highlight today was that our families typically have more than one attachment figure. So we all have a mum, but we also have those people in our families that our mum goes to know, you know, if I need to get this boy back to school, I'll get Uncle so-and-so to help, or I'll get, you know, my brother to come and help. And there's all these tasks assigned to other family members, and our families will take up that responsibility. You know, and if they can't, there'll be another person to go to. So I remember going and knocking on doors and meeting with families, and at the start there'd be one or two people there, mum or dad. And then by the end of that time, I'd have all these different people that I could help, you know, help mum to go and find this boy or go to an interview if he had to be interviewed by police or whatever. So really, the answer is already there. Our families help each other for life, and that, you know, I know that we do that as an Aboriginal person. We do that in my family. We do that. We have that resource. It's just about getting it back to the point of having our mums and our dads and our extended family members empowered to go back and meet with these agencies and say, we do care just like you, but we need a little bit of help to get along the way. And a 4 to 5 month intervention model like MST, which is a really systemic framework, that is what Aboriginal families are good at. They have a big family network. We don't just have one or two cousins, we all know that. So, you know, we have a lot of people to call on for financial commitments. You know, if someone's short of money 1 week, we can borrow off someone else. If someone's short of food here 1 day, we can borrow off someone else. That is our strength. The MST model really wraps around that and says, how are we going to do this together as a family, and then have all these agencies, you know, sort of not be around, and let's just keep doing this together, because that's the strength of our families. So I really did appreciate that model, and I really understood that families, in the end, you know, one of the best experiences I had was being invited to, you know, a meal. I did a sit-down meal with a big family, and that was their thanks to me for helping them. So that's what I understand too, the sharing of everything that we have. You know, food is really important. So I really appreciated working with MST, and I really do believe that more more resources like MST that go into family homes and really understand how Aboriginal families work from that strength base is really important to help our kids stay out of this criminal justice system and promote what we have and to keep trying to find a way to help our kids.
Yeah, I'm you're spot on, Shannon. You really are. When we talk about strengths in Aboriginal families, sometimes we don't see what is there. Now, I've got I'll bring my little life experience in here. What I found, and people that I do know, is that sometimes as a parent or a grandparent, you're going one way, like trying to improve things, such as, you know, like engaging with your child, you know, discipline, you know, the old learning exercises and stuff like that. But then when that child goes and spends time with an auntie, uncle or cousin, it all comes undone. So what I'm saying here is like the consistency of keeping everyone knows what to do with this child and this child's behaviour, and everyone's on the same page. So you're spot on with what you said, and it does become very difficult when good behaviours are not encouraged by another part of the family. It's very, very hard. I found it very hard, because to say to my son that what his uncle encouraged him to do was not right, it's argument time, do you know what I mean? So a big shout out to all our families that are there. Get on the same page. Recognise the efforts that the parents or caregivers are doing with their child to control their behaviour, getting through school, getting through life, keep them out of prison, and get on the same page, all be doing the same thing, and leading for the same good reasons to keep this kid educated, safe, and living nice and long. Now, I've got a question for you. Do these kids ever grow out of it? As in bad behaviours?
Yeah, sure.
Do they mind?
I would say the majority of kids, with help from their family, from their own friends, if they keep good friends, will grow out of bad behaviours. But it does take a bit of direction, and often that's from... I should point out that most of the referrals that we get are for boys. Yeah, about 75% are for boys. So if there's a positive male role model, whether it's their father or an uncle or even a teacher and other people who can really help contribute to giving the boys some direction, this makes an incredible difference. So, yeah. So if you have a child or you know a child where they're really struggling, yeah, don't give up hope, because most of these kids will respond to good, well-intentioned help. And as Shannon pointed out, that the more people are on the same page about what sort of help and what sort of behaviour is good and what's not good, then, of course, the child is going to get a consistent message and much easier for them to follow that.
We're going to go to a song, Ulushe, I Want to Be a Star, and you're listening to Big Girl here on Health Matters with Mark and also Shannon on the phone from Roeburn. And we're talking about multi-systemic therapy and the work that you can do with children's behaviours. And I'm going to come back and ask and talk about what skills can we give our kids to stop them developing this disorder. So, Ulushe, take it away.
I have learned so many things, and I'm not gonna be a clown.
Yeah, that was the sound of Ulla Shay. As I was saying before, Mark and Shannon, I wanted to say, like, you know, before things get too hairy, and I'm sure you know what I mean by Shannon by that, you know, you get too hairy. You know, what skills, what skills can we give our kids to stop them developing this disorder?
Yeah, look, one thing I would say, and given a lot of our clients at MST were boys, you know, let's not forget that our boys, even as they grow older, they still need us. You know, I always challenge in some meetings, and I think I'm fairly qualified to do so as an Aboriginal woman who's a psychologist, that let's not take our hands off our sons. Let's sit with them. Let's encourage them to express how they're feeling. Let's let them be sad. Let's let them grieve. Let's encourage it. Let's not tell them to stop and put that somewhere else or put a lid on that. Let's encourage them to be affectionate. Let's encourage them to be warm to others. You know, one thing I always remember about MST is these boys love to do cooking with their mums. They love baking cakes. Let's encourage their social skills, to talk openly about how they're feeling, to, you know, develop their own problem-solving skills in the moment. How do they say no to that person that says, come and have a drink with me, come and try this? How do we, you know, they're the types of skills that we want, and we need to practice and sit down with our children and say, you know, if someone said this to me, what, you know, what would you do? And it's really about role playing, MST, and, you know, and I still use it with my own children. What would you say, son, if this had happened or someone had asked you to do this? Role play it with them, get them to practice and then see what it's like for them. And then think about what it's like for them when none of us are around adults to help them with that, and there's just all these people and peer pressure around them. Encourage them to come to all the family activities that we still do with our little ones. Encourage the older boys to come along with us. Give them a lot of praise. You know, I think people think praise is only for our little kids. It's not. It's really, you know, I've seen kids light up and say, you know what, you did that really well. You were the best basketball player in that whole comp and you deserve to win that trophy. And they light up. So I think some of those really basic things, you know, let's keep talking to our boys. Let's keep encouraging them to feel the feelings that they should be feeling at the time. Let's let them be sad. You know, let's link them into other health services if they need to go and speak to someone else. Let's let them, you know, develop social networks. Let's go and watch them play sport. Let's still be involved in their lives, even though they're becoming young men. So there's a little bit of a balance as mums and extended family that we have, but there's a way that we can do it, but we still need to keep our eyes on our boys. We need to still be really heavily involved in their lives. So we just do it a little bit differently when they get older.
Definitely. That's one of the things that I quite often hear, because I go into the prisons quite often, Shannon and Mark, and that's one of the things that's comes up with talking to men under 20 and over, is that lack of love and appreciation of what they did do. When they were good, and then when they're bad, you know, it's a different kettle of fish, of course. But yes, there are some men that like, I know I've gone to hug someone, they like pull away, and you know, and then later down the track we're hugging all the time, you know. But yeah, I totally see where you're coming from. So with the multi-systemic therapy, Mark and Shannon, what's actually involved in it, like how long does it happen and stuff like that for parents and caregivers listening?
Sure. Shannon, do you mind if I talk to this and contribute where I've missed out things? So generally what happens, the referral comes to us, as I said, if we have space we pick it up and we make contact with the family as soon as we can. Usually what we're doing in the first few meetings with the family is the family choose what is the problems they want to work on. So this is a very client-focused intervention, if you like. We go to the family home at times that they choose. We involve the people that they want to have involved. We work on the problems that they want to work on. So they identify the problems that are usually the biggest problems for them. And that might be getting the child to go to school, to stopping being aggressive and violent at home or in the school. So we sit down with the parents and then work out, well, how are we going to do that? What is the plan for that? What are the things that probably contribute to some of those really negative things that are happening? And so what we do is by trial and error start trying to make positive changes within the family setting, and then look and see what changes we get in the young person. So this way of problem solving and improving the way that the families are sort of communicating with each other, a couple of the key changes that we're trying to get happening in the family. And what this does is gives the parents the skills to actually manage other problems as they arise. So better communication within the family, less aggression going on, less escalation where people walk away or, you know, that they just, it's not getting anywhere. So it's teaching people better way of communicating. You mentioned that it's actually more important to focus on rewarding behaviors, good behaviors, because if the young person's trying to be good but no one's noticing this, then they give up. It's like it's not being rewarded. So one of the things that we're doing in the program is teaching people to communicate better, to notice and reward proper behaviors when the young person's trying to be better. It's not an emphasis on punishment, but an emphasis on reward and encouraging the young person, giving them encouragement and also examples in their lives. That's from their possibly the father or uncles or other family members that they're going to look at, because let's face it, young people learn from what they see. So setting good examples, having great examples in their life, which is not just in the family but in the school, in the footy ground or in other sporting sort of venues, these things are critical sort of aspects that we try and get the young person involved in, and getting the family behind that, supporting that.
Mm. Mark and Shannon, is it a harder job when there is no family, no father or father figure within a family when trying to help a child out?
Not necessarily, because often uncles can step in, or grandparents, or many other people can step in. Shannon, you could also answer that.
I think that a lot of single mums have actually got a really good skill set to be able to deal with these problems. I think we always have in our families, whether we've got a partner or not, we have that person who can really come and support the mum, stand side by side and say, this is what, you know, needs to happen. So I think that the advantage of Aboriginal families is we always have more than one single person parenting our children. We have a lot of people to call on, and sometimes it's as good as a look, you know, eye contact. That means, you know, an uncle will say, I mean business, I really need you to do this for your mum now, mate. That's the type of the way of understanding that, you know, getting this communication back on track and really supporting the mum. You know, by the time that we get involved, mums are really tired. They're really worn down. They're really sometimes intimidated, really not embarrassed that she's got all these people involved in her life, and sometimes families, you know, don't want to get involved. So we need to sort of put a bit of a shout out back to the families, no, we actually need you to wrap around a bit here and help her, and then be around as a sustainable resource when things are hard, you know, and know that someone's going to step in and support. So, you know, I think that's the strength of our families, that even if we have one parent or two parents, we still have a big family network that's extended that will jump in and help us at times that we need it.
Thanks, Shannon. Now, what other programs can parents tap into apart from the MST ones?
There's a lot of community-managed organisations or NGOs out there with a long history of helping young parents. So probably there's a lot of good evidence to say that the earlier parents can be helped. This is a good thing. So I can't think of them all off the top of my head in Gala, but I think there's also
been there. Triple P is another one. Do you know anything about Triple P?
We do. Triple P is an Australian program that's gone internationally, actually. It's a positive parenting program. A lot of parents get a lot of skills from Triple P, whether or not they learn about this from reading about it or attending the groups where skill sets are given to them, or even online now where many of the skills can be obtained. I guess MST, in a way, is more like a tailor-made intervention, whereas Triple P are more like a generic set of skills that parents are going to be getting. MST tends to be tailor-made for the particular problems that that family may be having. So it's more of a specialist intervention where perhaps other interventions haven't been successful. But certainly, if you're able to access a service, whether it be Triple P or from, I think, Mercy Care and Uniting Care, these various other NGOs out there which will have parenting programs. If you can access those earlier, when the young person is sort of just showing behavioural problems that look like they're getting out of hand, then that's a good thing to be doing also.
Well, you can find out more about the Triple P Parenting Program and other resources through the Healthy Way website, which is www.healthyway.wa.gov.au. And are these called, is that free?
The
Triple P? One free?
There may be a fee involved. I think there may about... It's free to attend, or I think online courses cost about $80.
And what about the MST?
MST is free. It's a government service. So it's part of what's called the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services. So all the services that are provided at the 10 clinics, I think, in the Perth metropolitan area, these are free. So I didn't mention that previously, but certainly there's a wide range of very competent professionals providing multidisciplinary services right across CAMHS.
And Shannon, how can families access or find out more about this program, MST?
Well, I'm not in the metropolitan area anymore, but you really need to get a referral from Mark. You could probably help me out here, from your school psychologist. Who else?
I said, school psychologists or many of the NGOs will also refer to us, sometimes even GPs or sometimes the Department of Child Protection will refer to us, sometimes if the police have referred to us, juvenile justice have referred to us. So lots of people who understand the pathway can refer to us. Generally, the referrals come through professional people who have an understanding of the severity of the problems and accessing the services and what other services are available. They can also, for people listening, some of the websites that they could contact, for instance, the Child and Adolescent Health Service, they can contact through www.pmh.health.wa.gov.au. Or just Google PMH, Princess Margaret Hospital, and there will be a range of child and adolescent health services, of which Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, where the MST program sits, in the specialist program area. If people wanted to find out information about MST in general, they can also do www.mstservices.org. So MST originated in the USA about 30 or 40 years ago. It's since been rolled out to many, many countries in the world. There's a lot of research trials that have looked at the evidence of the program and if it's effective and how long it's effective for. Some of these programs, they've followed these children for 20 years and they can show that there's dramatically reduced arrest rates and all sorts of problems with these kids. Because mainly it's about learning different ways of reacting to life stresses. So if you don't act aggressively or violently and you're more likely to stick at a job and not do silly things, then you're going to have a much nicer life. And partly it's about that. It's about learning alternate ways of acting and living in life.
I remember when I was going through all my turmoil, the two most common words was change and consequence.
Yeah, but I guess if your anger kicks in so quick, and really what we're trying to do is teach children and adolescents and even adults how to regulate our emotions and not act without thinking, because often that's what gets us in trouble.
Yeah.
And if you add alcohol to that, it only gets worse. So
definitely. We're going to go to a track now, Mark and Shannon. This is Heartbeat, Daddy Daddy. So some more kids singing. And then we'll come back and we'll do a wrap up and just go over the deadly information that you've provided, and also give some more contact information for parents, caregivers or family members that are worried about their children and the behaviours and where they are taking them. Yes, we want our kids to be Dadi Dadi. And Dadi Dadi is not language, it's not Noongar language. Never mind, you've got Noongar kids singing there. It's a new age slang for boss or borga, as we used to use back in the day there. But coming to a close, the Health Matters on Big Girl, and great to have both Mark and Shannon on the show today. And I love doing this program because a lot of the time I can really connect with personal experience, so it's been great. So, Shannon, you know, what do you want to say and get out there before we say goodbye to you?
Yeah, look, I just wanted to, you know, sum up that, you know, these problems for children are quite common, and that, you know, really need parents to, you know, it should reduce your, you know, worry and anxiety that this is a common issue. There's no shame in this stuff, you know. It is initially quite hard, I understand to talk about things that aren't going so well with your kids, but don't feel like you're alone in this struggle. You know, reach out, ask for help. There are people around like me. You know, I'm dedicated to doing this work with children and trying to improve the social emotional well-being of our children for life, because then they become, good parents and solid members of our community, and that's what it's all about. So, please don't feel like you're alone. There's definitely no shame in this, and these things happen with our kids, and it's very common. So, keep persevering with the children, and use those people around you to wrap around you when you're not feeling strong enough to do so. And we all do have strong people in our families, and we just need to promote that ourselves.
Thanks, Shannon. Thanks for your perseverance as well, and for all the efforts that you're doing. And Mark, great to have you here from the Child and Adolescent Health Service. What would you like to get out there as a strong message before we go?
I'd reiterate exactly what Shannon just said, is that behavioural problems in children and adolescents are really common, and it's no shame to actually seek help. It's the wise thing to do, especially if it's escalating, because if it's escalating, there's huge risks if nothing gets done. Huge risk to the community and to that young person. So yes, get help. There's lots of places, lots of clinics that are going to provide appropriate help. Most of these are free, and it's the wise thing to do. A program like MST, which empowers parents, means you end up with a very empowered community and a healthy community, and that's what we're aiming for.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Shannon. Running out of time, great to have you talking on multi-systemic therapy, and hopefully we've given some light and inspiration to parents, caregivers, and just basically family members on getting some help for their kids. Don't forget, you can head online to healthywa.wa.gov.au for more information.